It's Wednesday, 19th of November 2014. This is HPR episode 1643 entitled Unison Syncing Utility. It is hosted by 5150 and is about 35 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to 5050@linuxbasement.com or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is review of the Unison Graphical Syncing Utility.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150 for Hacker Public Radio, and with your permission, I would like to dedicate this podcast to the memory of my father, Colonel Jack W. Greer, who recently passed. And if we could just take a moment in remembrance, I would be very much appreciative. Thank you, general listeners, for that indulgence. I know that's not why you tuned into this podcast, but I just wanted to take some time for you folks who are regular listeners to my contributions to Hacker Public Radio. Then you already know that my father and I had recently suffered some huge changes to our lives. We lost the house to a fire a couple months ago, and Dad's been in a rehabilitation recovery center, not from any injuries caused by the fire, but they decided they need to keep him in a facility for a while, and I'd had him back home in a apartment house I'd rented for about a week, and I'd noticed some deterioration in his health. And then one evening, you know, I woke up. Well, I thought, well, he must be doing a lot better tonight, because I don't hear it. I don't hear him audibly breathing there in the next room. And then I lay there for about 5 minutes and realized something was terribly wrong. And then I went in there but, you know, like I said, it's not what you folks tuned in to hear. I just wanted to share that with you because kind of always assume wrongly that the HPR community is made up, of course, the folks that I talk to all the time on Google+, or even Facebook, or in the All Class Planet Freenode channel. And it's so much more than that. There's a lot of you folks that listen to the podcast and don't have the opportunity to participate interactively. But, you know, you've, through my podcast, I guess you've become somewhat involved in the recent ups and downs of my family life. And, you know, it's not my purpose to involve you, but I did think in previous podcasts it was necessary to acknowledge some of the support that I've gotten from the podcasting community over the last several weeks. And what can I say? This last thing has just hit me like a dang truck. But, you know, and people say, well, why do you want to do a podcast now during this time? And it's nice to have something else to do, frankly, that I don't have to focus on it. And really, this is my third try at recording on this particular subject. This is the limitations of this laptop I have now. I don't know why. It should be plenty powerful now that I've added the memory. But it's the first time I recorded, I didn't do a very good job, so I had to do it again. The second time I thought was perfectly good. But going through and editing out the ums and whatever, the system itself kept sort of just noping out in the middle, and I think I've corrupted that second try too many times to go back and do it, so maybe I can do it right this time without so many things I have to edit, coughs in the middle notwithstanding. All right, so topic for today is the Unison Graphical Syncing Program. And for those of you who have to work in Windows, and yes, I'm one of you that has to work day-to-day in Windows, and we can all have a little pity party later. But probably if you're working for family members or for clients, you may have used a syncing utility called SyncBack, which is, it's just really great if you want to make one directory an image of another, and one reason for doing that would be backups. But the other reason, like I had on my home system before, but I had two computers that I would do work on and with similar files. And I decided at the end of the day, I wanted to have my documents directory on those two computers as mirror images of each other, including if I had conflicting versions of the same file. I wanted the most recent version to be on both computers. So it kind of requires you have to have a pretty good idea of what you've edited and when. Because, of course, if you have a file on one system and then you copy over documents on the other system and then you update that file on both computers independently, then, of course, you wind up with new data in both those files that you can't consolidate. Well, you'd certainly open both files side by side and do it manually, but there's no piece of software that's going to help you do that. But in most situations, you will know that I have this file here and I have this file there, and the file that's there is the one that is most up to date. And because it's most up to date, it'll have the latest date stamp. So when you sync two subdirectories on different volumes, hopefully, then your most recent update will overwrite the older versions of the same file. And if you have two folders with similar content, but not the exact same files, but stuff that you'd like to have grouped together on machine A and machine B, then syncing those folders is also something that you would probably want to do. So that's what Unison does. You give it, well, it calls it a first directory and a second directory, because it's going to sync in both directions, so it's not like a target directory and a source directory. Because if you have two files of the same name, whichever one has the latest date stamp is going to win. And Unison requires usually two packages to be installed. Unison and Unison-GTK. The GTK version, of course, installs the graphical interface into the software. So if you have two machines, at least one of them is going to need the GTK. I'm going to play Grand Theft Auto on here. No, GTK. It's going to need the GTK package. And of course, if you're one of those people who prefers one desktop to another and is very scrupulous about keeping the packages from one desktop off their system in favor of another desktop, then if you're not running GNOME, then you probably don't want to install the Unison-GTK, because that's going to bring in all kinds of GNOME-type dependencies that you don't want. But if you're one of those type of people that's so scrupulous with what they put on their system, then I'm certain, just by the name, you will know that that's not something you want to run, and I'm not telling you anything. So for you folks, jump to the next podcast probably, because there's nothing more that you can do with this one. But if you have two or more computers that you want to sync folders on, I'm just using documents as my example. It is what I synced. Now I would not recommend, unless you have identical machines, identical software, that you would sync your home directory, because you have different setups for different architectures and different desktops. I don't think that would be appropriate in most cases. Of course, if you have identical machines you want to clone, maybe you do want to do that. Otherwise, probably what you want to clone might be something in your documents directory. And the first thing that you want to do, I have step one in my notes. Let's call it step zero. Step zero would be if you have two machines and you want to sync the documents between machine A and machine B. First thing you're going to do is make the directory structures of machine A and machine B a perfect mirror of each other. So in other words, in some distros, the documents folder starts with a small d. In most distros, it starts with an uppercase D. And really, I don't know if that makes any difference at that level, because those are the target directories. But just for the sake of argument, let's make both of those capital D for documents, or lowercase d, whatever you want to do. And then all your subfolders, if you have similar documents in subfolder on machine A and another similar documents in another folder in machine B, you probably want to change those folder names to be the same. And, well, when I first did this, I had my big desktop replacement laptop in my office, and when I bought it, I always told myself, I'll get this laptop. It's refurb. It wasn't that expensive, but so yeah, I'm going to get this because I'm going to carry it around with me. And I only carried that big 17-inch laptop on a couple jobs. I found a smaller laptop that was a lot more convenient to trudge around with me. So, for all intents and purposes, a 17-inch laptop became a desktop. But on that, I think I had recipes that I would encounter. The recipes that I couldn't just link to, that I had to copy into a file for some reason. But real-world example, the two machines I wanted to sync, one of them I had under documents recipes with capital R, and the other one I had recipes with a lowercase r. So before I sync, if you sync them like that, because Linux is case sensitive in file names, I would have had two recipes directories, one for capital R, one for lowercase r. It's not what I wanted. So I had to go through and decide, do I want capital R or lowercase r? I think I decided on lowercase r. It doesn't really make any difference, but so you gotta go through and standardize. And I had a folder for family stuff and a folder, I think I had the family stuff and the farm stuff on one folder on each computer. And then I, of course, had my consulting stuff, so I had to name it so when I did a sync, all that stuff would be combined. And at the time, I also had... So, I had the two computers that really never left the house. I had the 17-inch desktop replacement laptop back in my office. And then I had the computer that sat on the dining room table, which I never really expected to use that much except during meal times. It's just, you know, that was the computer I was going to put the recipes up on when I was cooking. But also, you know, so I could follow IRC and, you know, surf the web while I was eating, etc. That's what I, you know, I started out with a laptop on the kitchen table. I'm sorry, not a laptop, a tablet. Well, I probably started out with the phone and had the IRC up. Then I had the tablet. Then I had this little low-powered, well, actually it was one of the original Windows tablets, a little HP computer. It was earlier than what we call a netbook, but it was about equivalent in power to a netbook. It had a transmedia processor, so there were some applications in Linux that just didn't run. VLC wouldn't run. So if I wanted to listen to Tilts, I had to listen to it through a browser, which wasn't that much of a inconvenience, but that's how I did it. And then eventually I saw online this former point-of-sale system that was kind of neat because it's got this sort of skeleton frame that kept the whole thing up off the table. And I put a swivel under it and all that. So in other words, you had the small form factor computer on one side of this frame, and then you had a 17-inch square monitor on the other side. And so I set the whole thing up on a turntable and added a keyboard and mouse, and, you know, it just works slick for a... I've talked about this before, but it works slick for a kitchen and dining room computer, because if you knocked over your tea glass and spilled stuff all across the table, everything was up off the ground. It was not like a laptop sitting there was going to just suck everything right in. So, and I found out that I was spending, you know, I was doing a lot of productivity things on this dining room computer that I never expected I would be doing. I figured, well, I'd have it running during meals, and then if I were to go do something, I'd go back to the 17-inch laptop in the office. Well, didn't really turn out that way. I was really doing most of my stuff on the dining room computer. So I would sync those to the entire documents directory. And of course, you have to have, like I said, first step is make your documents directory mirror image of each other. And then I had this really neat, I thought, Panasonic titanium shelled toughbook, about 11.5 inches, that I wound up actually taking around with me to jobs. And now I didn't want to sync the whole documents directory. I just wanted to sync my client information. In other words, well, I'd always have a file for clients with their passwords, with their account information, with their credentials for any software they had installed. So if I had to go back to the software vendor with any questions, I could prove that the client actually had a license for the software. And of course, always made sure the client had a copy of that, but you know how it is. Clients never have that stuff. So you gotta maintain it yourself. You just got to. So that stuff, usually I was updating that most of the time on that little laptop that I carried around with me. But, you know, the thing was, clients would call you in the middle of the day, and you didn't want to get that little laptop out of the case and fire it up to be able to tell them something. So you wanted to have their information available to you on whatever workstation you were on. So this is part of the sync. I would sync the little laptop to the big laptop, and then sync the big laptop to the machine in the dining room, and then I would have all my client information on all the machines I would like them to be on. And I did say, now I told you, when you install Unison, You can install just Unison and not the GTK, but any syncing operations have to be installed from the graphical client. So if you have a headless server with no graphical component, you can install Unison on it and pick a directory and sync all, you know, whatever you want to it, and then it'll be backed up on your server. But it's just that you can't initiate those operations from the server side. Okay. Network backups. You know, if you're going across the network, the great thing about Unison, if you have Unison on two machines on your network, then you don't have to share what we want to call the target drive, but you know, Unison calls it drive one and drive two, or first drive and second drive is what Unison calls it. You don't have to have that remote drive actually shared, you know, through Samba or NFS or through SSHFS or whatever. It doesn't have to be shared. It just has to be out there on the network and really access it pretty much like you would if you were to issue an SCP command. We'll get to that. But if you're going to do network backups, it's strongly recommended that you install either RSH or SSH client and server on all your machines participating in the backup. And of the two, of course, SSH is preferred because that has the stronger security. And you're probably already wondering, okay, why go through all this graphical stuff? Why, you know, why not just use rsync? Well, when I went to research the rsync command, I really didn't find any way to do a bidirectional sync. It, you know, it's more like a copy command. Of course, rsync, always the newer file will overwrite the older file, but only goes one direction. If you rsync directory A to directory B, the newer files in directory A will overwrite the older files in directory B of the same name, but the newer files of the same name in directory B will not overwrite the older files in directory A. You got to go back the other direction and do an rsync directory B to directory A to do that. Plus, you have rsync won't automatically pick up files. It's a lot like CP in that. You have to do hidden files separately. Plus, unless your regex is a lot better than mine, you have to handle files with an extension separately from files without an extension. So you got to go like files without an extension, you got to go star, and then files with an extension or star dot star. So you wind up, you have three separate rsync commands going one direction and three separate rsync commands coming back the other direction. And that might be really more efficient in the long run, but still, I think using Unison is a lot easier to follow. Okay, I guess I already talked about it. I said my step one was making your subfolder structure the same on both machines, blah, blah, blah. I've already talked about that. Okay, next step, you need to launch Unison and create a backup profile. So you have to assign the profile name, and you have to select a synchronization kind, whether it's local, SSH, RSH, or TCP. And I explained that. Local would be optimally, say, well, it would be another volume on the, well, another directory. It could be two directories on the same volume, but I wouldn't understand the point in that. So, directory on a local machine, directory A on one volume, directory and second directory on another volume, say, a USB backup drive, something like that. That's what that's intended for. Or a thumb drive. And in fact, we'll get to the point where it's going to ask you if either of your drives are formatted as FAT. So that is in anticipation of backing up to thumb drives or to a USB hard drive, because USB hard drives are usually formatted as FAT by the factory, because that's the only universal file system between different architectures that we have, unfortunately. Now, it can be pointed out that local would include, if you have an external hard drive, say, out there on the network on another machine, or a NAS box or something like that. If you have that mounted, why install Unison on both boxes? Just install Unison on your local client and use it to copy the files. Well, you could, but the thing screams out to me is that is, well, if you're doing things local, then it's not going to be encrypted. Whereas if you select one of the network tools, you can select SSH and have your files be encrypted going across the network. And as I said, SSH is considered to be more secure than RSH. And TCP, that would be completely out in the open, no encryption, flying across your network. So that's not at all recommended. So you have to select your first directory, and that's assumed to be local on the system you're running. And then if you selected local synchronization, you'll be asked for a second directory. If not, if it's a network folder, you've got to go through a few more steps. And the first step of that, you tell it the host machine, and you can either give it the name or the IP address. And I've been having to use IP currently. I'm using the default Cox router, which I probably shouldn't be using, and Wi-Fi. And I've tried to go in and through DHCP assign static IP addresses to my host machines, and it's completely ignoring that. I don't know why. But it's assigning my machine's IPs dynamically, but it is tending them to assign them the same IP each time. So that's not so bad. So the host machine is, or rather the remote machine I'm using, since my server, you know, I had an actual rack-mounted server back at home. I left it at home because it just, you can't use it inside the same building where you're trying to sleep. I'm sorry. But, so my destination or my second directory is on a Pentium 4 that I brought with me and set on the network. And so I'm using the IP address that the router assigns to it right now because I gave it a host name and that doesn't seem to be recognized. And you're going to have to give it the username for your account on the remote machine, of course. And before it actually runs the sync, if you haven't registered your SSH keys between the two machines, then of course you're going to get prompted for a password every time you want to do a sync. There's a checkbox for whether you want to use compression. So it's a trade-off. If your processor is slower than your network, then actually trying to compress files may be more overhead than it's worth. But in most cases, it's probably not. Okay, then, if you're going for a network destination, you'll be asked for the target directory or second directory. And you're going to have to, you've already been asked for the host, you're going to have to type in the full path. You can't browse to it, so you're going to have to type in /home/username/directory name, etc. And this is the next step is where you're going to tell Unison if either folder is using FAT. Like I said, if your target is a flash drive or an unreformatted USB drive, then probably it is FAT. Let's see, and in my notes I'm reiterating stuff I've already talked about. If you're backing up to another system, Unison needs to be on both. You don't need the GTK on the target system, but then you're going to be limited to initiating your syncs from only the systems with a graphical interface. And so you should be done creating your profile, so you select and run it. And the first time, you're going to get a warning that no archive files exist. And those are index files that are created the first time that you run a sync that helps systems to see which files have been updated since the last sync. So it speeds up the sync operation by having those index files there. So it's expected to get a warning the first time. If you get it from then on, then you're going to have to wonder what's eating your index files. And of course, the Unison is going to look for differences in the timestamps between first directory, which is going to be represented in the left-hand column, and the second directory, which is going to be represented in the right-hand column. And it'll take a while to run, probably. through all those, and it's not going to show your subdirectories. Well, it'll have some indication as you go through, but it's just going to show file names, really, and then it'll have an arrow for which file. If the newer file's in directory A, then it's in directory B. If directory B doesn't have that file, there's going to be an arrow going from the left from first directory to second directory. And if the second directory has a newer version of the file, then there's going to be an arrow going to the right. And you do have an option in there when you to only do updates in one direction. So you can decide that you only want to do a right-hand update, so just or a left-hand update, so only the files that are newer on the left will get over, or only new files that are newer on the left will overwrite the older files on the right, or only the files that are newer on the right will overwrite the files on the left. You've got that decision to make. And there's also a merge option, which I can only think will come to tiers. That's going to try to combine files rather than overriding one with the other. So I don't recommend you ever touch that. And then finally, there's a go option, which does merge as we would think, that if the, you know, whatever files are newer in the right-hand column will overwrite the older files in the left-hand column. Whatever files are newer in the left-hand column will overwrite the files that are older in the right-hand column. And that's what we wanted. So you hit go to make that magic happen, and, you know, in a few minutes, you'll have identical file structure in those two target folders that you select. Well, I don't know what else I can say about it. I think we've covered Unison pretty well. I hope it's something you might find useful. And if you know of anything the rest of us might find useful, please, please come to Hacker Public Radio and record an episode. It'll make Ken so happy because he's there in the Netherlands, you know. Right now, I think we're down to 11 days of shows, and that includes the weekends, and he's like tearing his hair out, and I don't know if he can afford to be doing that. So please come up with a topic, record a show, drop it in here, and we'll be all be so, so happy. Okay, as always, I've been 5150, your host. Well, not as always. It's only always when I'm doing the show, because it's usually other people doing the show. But as always, when I'm doing the show, then I've been your host, 5150, for Hacker Public Radio. And just have one heck of a time until we get to talk again. Thanks.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.